One thing I talk about often during perimenopause and menopause is inflammation, and nutrition can play a major role there. Many women are getting far too many omega-6 fats and not enough omega-3s, but most people have no idea what their ratio actually looks like. That's one reason I personally trust Chronometer. It doesn't just track your food. It gives you detailed nutrient data, including your omega-3 intake and even your omega-3 to 6 ratio. That level of insight can help you become more intentional about the foods you're eating every day. Chronometer is accurate, easy to use, and far more comprehensive than many other nutrition apps. I love that I can look beyond calories and really evaluate nutrition quality, including protein, fiber, iron, and healthy fats. Especially during this stage of life when nutrition becomes even more important. If you're ready to better understand your nutrition and make more informed choices, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Whoops. Just unplugged my headphones. Rach is coming back today, but she is off until Monday. Be nice to have her back. Her birthday's tomorrow. So make sure you wish her a happy birthday online. Matt Pauly joins us from the sports department. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. Okay, I wanted to ask you guys, and don't kill me too bad on this, because I know that you guys spend a lot of your time combating feelings as opposed to facts. But I'm asking you guys, as baseball experts, how you're feeling about the team right now, given our start in this second part of the season.
Not great. Nobody should be feeling great about it. They're not scoring runs. They're finding other ways to not perform well. I don't know the last time that they had both a good start and a good bullpen performance on the same day. Mm. It's just not good. They're below 500 for the first time this year. The only thing that gives me any hope is I don't think that the teams that they're contending against for that final wild card spot are that much better. But bluntly, it's harder to say that right now. When you look at the Arizona Diamondbacks, I believe they're still holding the final wild card spot. They won yesterday. That right now, it feels like the Diamondbacks are a significantly better team than the Cardinals. I don't think they really are, but right now it feels like they are. So, yeah, not great would be my answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to, like, at the moment, they just stink, right? I mean, they haven't been hitting, and they haven't been hitting for a while, and you can see where the glaring weaknesses are. You know, I mean, you can see they just don't have enough depth. You have four hitters, and after that, it's a maybe. You know, Newt is not as bad as he's looked, but he hasn't been good now for a month, and you don't have anything after that. Mason Wynn's not a good hitter. I mean, I don't care what his potential is. I know what his ceiling could be, but he's not a good hitter, and he hasn't been for 2 years. None of the catchers right now outside of Herrera are good hitters. So whether it's Crooks or Pages playing, that's going to be a weak spot in the batting order at the moment. Although I keep saying that about Crooks, but he's actually been better when he's gotten to play this month. He just never gets to play because anytime there's a lefty, he ain't playing. And then if it's Herrera's day to catch, he's not playing then either. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure he's getting the run that he needs or that we would need to be able to determine whether or not he can hit, because this month he's hit the ball hard. Like last night, he hit a ball opposite field to the fence. And in a lot of ballparks, it's a home run, but not at Busch Stadium.
Yeah.
And he's hit a couple of home runs this month already in pretty limited time. So I'm going by what we've seen in total to say he's not an asset there, but I'd like to see more. Nathan Church is not a good hitter. He just isn't. I mean, will he be? Maybe. I mean, I'm not. These are not long-term rulings. I'm just talking about at this moment. You can see how thin the lineup is. You can see that the pitching staff, both the bullpen and the rotation, have very little room for error.
I got one for you.
Yeah.
Like going back to Mason Winn, because I'm a big trends guy. I look at the day-by-day a lot. So Mason Winn has 2 hits in each of his last 3 games and 7 hits over his last 4 games, which is great. When you're talking about month-long numbers, it does not take much to move month-long numbers very much because it's such a tiny sample size. So even with so generally you have 6 hits over 3 days, that's going to make your numbers look good for that month just on its own. Even with 3 consecutive 2 hits days for Mason Winn with a double in there as well, his July numbers are still just a .241 batting average and a .620 OPS. So that tells you how bad it's going right now for Winn.
And I think that the lesson is, you know, this is. You guys remember Dennis Green, the NFL coach?
Yeah.
Matt surely does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You are.
Dennis Green, but he did that thing when they lost to the Bears.
Let him off the hook.
They are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of where we are now. Like preseason, we thought this is kind of what it would look like, a roller coaster up and down, maybe winning, maybe a .500 team, maybe not. Well, I mean, it's turning out that they probably are what we thought they were at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Now they can still turn it around. Like there's still 2 months left. I'm not ruling that out. A lot of these guys have shown they have the ability to be better than they've been. So that's partly why I'm not that emotional about, like, I'm not angry about where they are. I guess that's probably the best way to put it. I get frustrated with some weird, inconsistent decision-making. Like why one guy can go to the minors and try to work to get better, but for another guy, it's not an option. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, where they are is not far off of where we all expected them to be, except that we've also seen these big positive developments in, you know, Weatherholt being a stud, Walker being an all-star and maybe being a real star. You know, he's going to be one of the best power hitters in the sport at this point. And you're seeing the farm system turn in the ways you needed it to. You're seeing all these power arms getting closer and closer. You're seeing a guy that's going to hit 35 home runs down at AAA in Josh Baez, who's close to being here. So you're seeing the possibilities. Raniel Rodriguez is close. He's at AA. That's close. And that's 19-year-old guy that's that close. So you can see it now, but you can also see in the immediate where they have to get to is not where they are now.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys, drill down a little bit on Newt, because it seems like for a couple seasons now, I've heard you guys talk on my show and on Rush Hour and Gas House, mostly about Newt when it comes to this, that like he's a StatCast darling and his expected numbers and such. Why is maybe I just clock it with him and not other players, but why is he such a focus of that? Like, what's expected of him and what he can do. Like, it seems like he never gets judged on what he does.
It's a great point. And I'll steal something from Kevin here. So if Kevin's about to say this, sorry, Kevin, I'm taking it from you. I think Kevin said this in a text or something one day, and a light bulb went off when he said it. Newt Barr seems so often when he's at the plate that he's trying to work a walk and he's not being aggressive. So when he does swing, when he does make contact, when he does all these things, it's really good. I don't know if the expected numbers account for kind of this non-aggressive approach at the plate. So that's why this happens. If he was more aggressive at the plate, maybe those expected numbers would look different because there'd be more data on swings and things like that. So I didn't totally steal from Kevin, but I'd been thinking about it a lot. I was like, why is this? Why does, and I think it was the Anaheim series where he just didn't take the bat off his shoulder for an at bat and ended up striking out.
He had bases loaded. He had a 3-1 count, and you're batting fifth, which is an RBI position, which means you are trying to drive in runs there, not trying to get on base there. If you're hitting first or second and there's nobody on base, it's a little different animal. Bases loaded, 3-1 count, there's no way he should take a fastball in the strike zone.
And he did.
And then he struck out on the next one because he took a really close pitch and got called out. That passivity is why he failed in that moment. And it wasn't because his bat speed isn't good enough. It wasn't because the quality of his contact isn't good enough. It's because he sat there and watched instead of being aggressive where aggressiveness is required. With men in scoring position, your at-bats need to be more aggressive. The end. I don't care who you are. That's what it has to be. And that may be, and I think, you know, when Matt and I were kicking that around, I don't think it proves anything, like, completely. But it does partially explain why every year his expected numbers are better than his real numbers. Every year. And this is now, I mean, looking at his career, this is now almost 2,000 at-bats in his career, right? It's not a small sample size. And it doesn't mean that that's an absolute proof that that's the one thing that leads to it. But I do think it's a contributing factor. That when you have hitters counts with runners in scoring position, you cannot take strikes. You need to swing the bat.
Who do you guys guess the outside baseball world, people involved in the MLB, look at one of our players and think, oh, the Cardinals are wasting this guy. We can really turn him into something. Who do you think is the most attractive in that get a bargain kind of thing?
Newt.
Newt? Yeah.
yeah, probably. Because he's got all the physical traits that everybody likes, right? If you look at him, right, so bat speed's above average, but the quality of his contact is always good. His hard hit rate's always good. He's got a strong throwing arm. His arm is in the top 9 or 10% of position players. He's an above average runner. So I'm sure a lot of teams look at him and say, we could make a couple of tweaks that we actually get that production out of him. Doesn't mean they will, yeah. But I know there are teams that think that.
Yeah,
I bet there's some teams out there that feel that way about Nolan Gorman and Victor Scott II, because with Gorman, it's just make a little bit more contact, and all of a sudden he's a 30 home run guy. With Scott, it's just get on base a little bit more, and he can start stealing bases and being an impactful player that way. So a lot of times when there's somebody who's maybe just, you know, one thing away from being potentially impactful, I'm sure there's teams who think that way about them as well.
Yeah, and I think most teams think that they can take a guy from another team and just make a tweak or two and fix him. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're not. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah. Speaking of feelings, I just kind of feel like Gorman and Victor Scott are just gone.
Well,
you know,
if you look at their minor league numbers, you're not far off.
Like, I would be shocked if they came back up. Not even this year, just like ever.
I mean, it's understandable. I mean, you look at what they've done at Memphis since going back down. Because you would normally, and Matt, I think you would agree with this. Yeah. Normally, guys, when they go back to the minor leagues after being in the majors for a while, they go back down to the minor leagues and they just hit. Because it's so much easier than hitting in the major leagues. Victor Scott's hitting .194. I'm sorry, what's he? That was what he did in the majors. He's hitting .202 in the minors. His numbers overall are exactly the same at AAA against inferior competition as they were in the major leagues. He's not getting any better. And Nolan Gorman's kind of the same thing, where Gorman has hit some home runs down in Memphis, but it's literally all that he's hit. Like, when you go look at his numbers coming into, like, his numbers at AAA this year, it's pretty stunning to me that a guy with as much major league service time as he has is hitting .149.
Yeah, and
striking out like 45% of the time. That's insane.
I think the Victor Scott II stuff is real. I do put merit in those struggles, and he's got to figure that out. He's also somebody who's never hit above AA, so that shouldn't be all that shocking. With Gorman, I give a little bit of grace of he's working through stuff right now, so I dismiss the in-game numbers a little bit just because it's that uncomfortable feeling of working on something at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and then trying to bring it into a game. Changing up your swing in the middle of a season is one of the hardest things to do in sports, period. Not just in baseball, but in sports. That being said, Gorman last week and a half, a little bit better over his last 9 games. He does have an .800 OPS, so it's a tiny sample size on that one. And it's not all home runs either. In that time, he has 2 home runs and 7 total hits. So he's got it's a little bit better. But again, I put almost zero merit in the overall numbers for Gorman because it's just a guy who's going through the process of working on stuff.
I mean, boy, I'm trying not to be too harsh on the guy, but like, I understand struggling. That's like regular Joe struggling against professional pitching. Like, when you're hitting .130, that's not, I mean, and striking out almost 50% of the time, that, I know it's hard to make swing changes. It isn't that hard.
Yeah.
It isn't that hard to the point where you'd hit .130 and strike out half the time at AAA. And if that's the case, by the way, then he shouldn't be at AAA. He should be at a lower level doing this if that's the problem, or he should be off on the side if he's having this much trouble.
And they've sent him down to Florida for a little bit before he got to Memphis. I don't disagree with that Your second part, I don't disagree with. Maybe AAA is not the place for him right now. But I've talked to guys, and you played at a much higher level than I even imagined to, Kevin. So I probably should just defer to you on this. But I've talked to guys who have gone through this sort of thing, and they talk about the rebuilding a swing in season. I've heard from so many people is just one of the most challenging things to do.
Oh, I completely agree with that. But I can't imagine it takes a guy with 4 years of major league service time down to a .130 hitter at AAA. Like, that's crazy. I mean, I agree, though. I agree that it's one of the hardest things to do in sports because it's such a timing-related thing, and you don't have time. You have literally 0.3 of a second to make these things happen in a game setting. But it's just disturbing to me that it's as bad. It wouldn't bother me if he was hitting 190 or hitting 200, yeah. But... man, that's really bad.
Matt, once we get past trade deadline next week, who do you really want to see come up from AAA this season?
Quinn Matthews.
Yeah.
That's an easy one. I want to see Quinn Matthews. My belief and my hope, those are, I can combine, those are not always the same, but in this situation it is. My belief and my hope is that both Quinn Matthews and Hunter Dobbins are going to be every fifth day members of the rotation within the next week and a half, and that's what I want to see.
Here's my question for you. So Dustin May gets traded in that scenario, right?
Yep.
Libertor to the bullpen?
Probably, but look, it's not impossible that Pallante gets traded too.
Yeah, I shouldn't say I'd be shocked. I would be surprised, but if you're getting great offers, I think you do it.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't think there's anybody on this team other than Walker and Weatherholt that I won't listen on.
I think Pallante would be attractive to the teams that are just trying to get into the postseason.
Yes.
I don't think he would be attractive to the teams that are looking to go on a deep postseason run.
He might be attractive to a team like Philly, where they might not see him as a rotation piece in the playoffs, but they need a starter, and he could stabilize their fourth or fifth spot, which has been a disaster.
They have a great record when their top three guys are pitching, and then anybody else pitching, they are just terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
Keep cool out there, folks. It's going to be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game. But from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!